Curtis Sliwa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
We are high atop Madison Square Garden in these great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. You know what this theme song means. The Big Mac Daddy, Dominic Carter, is in the house again, back to back, belly to belly.
I'm glad to see you're dancing today and diddy bopping to the music, and you're back to being Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah, I was very concerned yesterday because I was like walking death. That you would try to administer CPR on me and put your lips on my lips. I would rather die, go straight to hell without
really?
An asbestos suit. Absolutely.
Now, you know, when I was about 13 years old at the Armory up on Kingsbridge in the Bronx.
The empty Armory.
That's right, empty Armory. But back then, I was one of the cadets, and I was the corpsman. And as you know, a corpsman in military service deals with medical issues. And so I had to take a Red Cross first aid class. And so if you need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, guess what? I'm going to do it.
Oh, my God. Please.
And
please.
Compress your chest.
Let me die. Let me die.
If I remember correctly, it's 5 to the mouth and then 3 chest compressions.
Oh, how about this? How about just limited to the chest compressions? I really don't want your coho lips on mine. I really don't want that, Dominic. I mean, I don't know. I'll be spitting up for years after. But anyway, I'm much better today than I was yesterday. I was walking death. There was no doubt about it. Teetering and tottering. We are now 15 days away from when I go under the knife at Columbia Presbyterian. An operation I am desperately looking towards.
Are you nervous? I mean, you're acting like you're going to the garden to a Knick game
yes.
here.
Yeah, because remember, it's been 2.5 years of total hell. Total hell going on inside of my structure where it's been like a Dante's Inferno. I mean, just every day. And you've seen it at its worst.
Yes.
But every day it's something. And in fact, today calling the surgeon and I'm asking him, can I just go on IV the rest of the way? Because the only thing I'm limited to eating now is just turkey. I can't even have bread, mashed potatoes, gravy, nothing. It's just turkey, Gatorade, and water. So I figure, why not, while I do my last broadcast here until I go under the knife, just have an IV here, you know? And this way, Justin B. Love and Brian Mangalucci, you can try to mess with it and cause me all kinds of problems through Sabatucci. I could easily see these millennials and hipsters that I hate, that I loathe, trying to do that. But can you imagine me strapped to an IV? The only way I'm being fed, I'm being given the nutrients you need to stay alive?
No, I can't.
That's what I'm urging for.
Because you go 24 hours a day.
And I'm a little bit upset with our colleagues who preceded us. Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg.
They're great guys. They're good guys.
And Jill Vitale, their producer. You know what their biggest concern was?
What?
The biggest concern about me going under the knife December 13th was, and I'm going to miss the annual WABC Christmas party December 15th, where they wanted me to put on a dance master extraordinaire act like I've done in previous years.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, in which I get the urge to merge right on the dance floor, and, I mean, women just line up.
So it was natural for you growing up just to dance naturally? You know, like they say with African-Americans, that it's natural
that we're
good dancers, when that's not true?
I would say it really came from the Italian side of my family, Fidelio Bianchino, my grandfather, and my Uncle Vincenzo, who looked like Bela Lugosi. But what a dance master he was. He won all kinds of trophies and awards. So I think it came from that side. It certainly didn't come from the Polish polka side. Although, one year, I actually competed in the Polish-American Fest, you know, in Wahala. Valhalla?
Yes.
Where the big dam is, where any minute you think the dam is going to burst and the water's going to come down on you. And I finished second doing the Polish polka. And that's not a dance that I'm, you know, that I've done too many times in my life. But I finished second against some really good dancers.
So you have rhythm.
Yes. As I said, I'm blacker than you, Dominic Carter. There's no doubt about that.
What was the name of that movie about the basketball players and I think Woody Harrelson?
White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, White Men Can't Jump.
Right.
That was the name of it?
Yeah, but you notice
White
how
Men Can't
Woody,
Jump.
Man, he was him and Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
You know,
Don't
went
start.
Out there and just started,
start.
Just started taking people off of their money.
That's
Sucker
right.
brothers who thought,
right.
oh, this white boy can't play basketball.
Wait, what was the name of the movie again?
White Boys Can't Jump.
Ah, White Men Can't Jump. Oh,
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
But you see, some can.
Mm.
Most can't.
Mm.
Black men, most
Be
can
careful.
Dance, but most won't get up to dance. And that's why oftentimes...
What?
Yeah, that's why...
Oh, here we go.
Oftentimes you're at a party or
here
a
we
jam
go.
Or
here
you're
go.
At a gathering, and it's always women getting
When's
up dancing
When's the last
with
time
women.
You've been to a party?
About a year ago, I think. A year
oh,
or more
okay.
ago. But I
okay.
didn't get up and dance.
No?
No. Didn't get up and dance.
Well, you admit that you love black women and you love to dance.
Did.
So, oh, past tense.
Yeah, had the bad experience. You know how they say, once you've had black, you always go back, never going back. Sorry.
Are you saying that's not true?
Oh, not for me.
Really? You
oh,
sure about
SWA
that?
SWA sister.
Sure.
Yes.
You're 1,000% sure.
Damn right. Sisters with attitude. Plus, you know, I got my home slice now. Nancy Regula, right?
Nancy's a great lady.
That's right. Committed relationship. I don't need to get frisky out there. Although, under the influence of Nancy Regula, you can go to the WABC Curtis Facebook page, and you will see the latest cat that we rescued over the weekend in Sunset Park.
Fantastic.
It's only like a little kitty sound here, Brian Mogulich. Make yourself useful there as the board operator, who I hate, I loathe, I despise. But this kitten is only about maybe 2-3 weeks old.
Aww.
I mean, and you'll see it's right in the palm of my hand.
Oh, the boo-boo.
That's right. Now, we already have Hercules, who's the patriarch in our colony. And then there's Apollo, and then there's Athena.
Don't forget Beyonce, my cat.
Yeah, but then she's just a visitor.
But we got Beyonce as a kitten.
Yes.
And, you know, she's brown and white.
Oh, so mixed. She's a mulatto.
Her skin, her hair is brown and white.
Yeah. She's a mom.
But Beyonce is black.
Well, yeah, Thunder Thighs is
no,
black.
No, Beyonce the cat
oh.
and Dolce
oh.
are African-American.
So now, based on the old wives' tale, is that unlucky, you know, when that black cat passes right in front of you
but
unexpectedly?
I didn't say my cat was black. I said my cat was brown and white. Beyonce.
Oh, a mulatto.
No. Her hair is brown
but anyway,
and white. But we had. But tell me about this kitten.
We are putting
rescued.
This little kitten up for adoption.
Oh.
So if anybody is interested out there, all you have to do is hit me up on the Facebook page. And
where's the kitten right now?
It's with Nancy Regula in the apartment
oh.
there, because that's part of the cat colony. You know, it's a pecking order. You go Hercules, the patriarch, Apollo, Athena, and now the newest cat. We've yet to choose a name for it.
So wait, how many cats do you have?
There's four now.
You have four cats?
Four cats.
And who cleans the litter box for all these cats?
Not me. That's Nancy's job. She's the matriarch. She's the cat lady. You know, she
Four.
Introduced me to this, yeah.
Four.
Yeah, and some of the cats, they like to go in the litter box right after you cleaned it.
Are any
you know,
of
almost
your cats,
like to spite you.
Are any of your cats African-American?
Yeah, I would say the tuxedo cat, Apollo. He's almost all black with a little tinge of white here and there. That's why they call him a tuxedo cat. And he's from East New York, where they shoot. He's the thug out of the three. He is a total thug. And now that he was the first to hiss at the little kitty when we brought it home. The first one, you know, like, hey, watch out. Back off, pal. Back off. You know, because you know how those cats are in East
and
New York.
And that would be the black one.
Yep. He don't play, right? He says, hey, we shoot. Can you imagine this? A cat telling me that. You're going to shoot me because you're from East New York? Yeah. But anyway, it's available for adoption, so please go to the Curtis Lee with Facebook page.
But have you noticed how I'm trying to keep you on the cat topic? Do you know why I'm doing that? It's intentional.
Because you don't want me to become a hater.
No, because on the royal family.
Oh.
That is fantastic news, and I don't want you to get started on the royal family.
Wait a second. You mean to tell me? Wait a second. You mean to tell me?
Congrats to Prince Harry.
the biggest deadbeat welfare cheaters in the world, the royal family.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they are. First of all, they're on the dole. They never worked a day in their life. They were Nazi sympathizers right before World War II. Yeah, they were supporting Adolf Hitler, right? That's right, against Winston Churchill. And how dare you be supporting? What are you? What is this? Like in Africa, you know, when the Queen Mother would come. Yeah, Bwana, Bwana, Bwana. That's why we had a revolution here. That's why we said to the king, Ufa to you, we're not paying any taxes.
Okay, but wait a minute. You're not happy. Considering what these young men went through, Prince Harry and his brother.
What did they go through?
Losing their mother in the way that they did. You're not happy for these young men?
What should I be happy for? They've been on the dole, perpetual dole. What have they done for society?
You should be happy with the fact that they are normal men, that they are outstanding citizens, that they are doing great worldly things.
Well, let's open up our phone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sick and tired of hearing anything about the royal deadbeat family. The queen and all her minions, all of them on welfare, all of them basically dependent on the generosity of the taxpayers in the UK. And here's Dominic Carter, a sycophantodian lackey of the royalty. 1-800-848-WABC. Oh, look who's here. It's Bernard Getz, the subway gunman, who wants to give me advice about my upcoming surgery.
I haven't talked to Bernie in quite some time.
Thanks for joining us, Bernie.
Yeah, hi, Curtis. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Bernie. Nice to hear from you.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, Curtis, I'm sorry about your health problems. And if just think of what you just said on the radio right now. You're basically eating a diet of meat and water and Gatorade.
Yes.
And it's absurd. And here's what I'm offering you.
But wait, but Bernie, doesn't that sound like Atkins? It sounds like Atkins to me.
Well, it sounds like he has terrible digestive problems. And if a person would just eat meat and water, they would suffer from constipation. The human intestine, all mammals' intestines and reptiles, they need material in their intestines that holds water. And so anyway, Curtis, I'm offering sometime if you want this week for an hour or so, I'll go shopping with you. I think you should try for about 3 days, basically just having a diet of soft cooked vegetables and maybe some mild fruit like papaya, a little bit of that, and see how it works.
So, Bernie, we would go together to Whole Foods.
Whole Foods would be fine. They're not the best on vegetables you shop around.
Well, what are the best? Well, because you're an expert on this.
Well, I go to different places for different vegetables. Whole Foods would be fine if you had soft cooked vegetables. Hmm. That the type of thing that holds water in your intestines, that would your intestines might
now
straighten
question,
out on their own.
Question, and if you and I were going, like we're jumping from little mom-and-pop shop stands, vegetable stands to...
I don't want to run all around. We can do this probably in just a Whole Foods.
I know, but we might. You know, you walk in and people go running for the doors thinking you're going to pull out your gat and blast them there.
No, not at all, Curtis. I'm very popular lately. Everybody likes me.
So, Bernie.
Even the liberals in New York, most of them like me now.
So, Bernie.
I can't explain it. Bernie, I never wanted to be popular.
Bernie, what year was it when that shooting happened that you were involved? What year was that?
84.
Okay, 80. Wow, 84. So that's what, 33 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 70 now. I'm 70 now, and my health is fine.
Okay, but Bernie, so here's the million-dollar question, and we've known each other for some time. Do you regret it all these years later?
Regret what?
Regret the shooting.
Pulling the trigger?
Yes.
Well,
shooting those black young men.
Well, I don't think it's the type of thing you regret. Remember, they were right on top of me. When I've been mugged before, when people were at a distance from me, when they're 10 feet away, you pull a gun, that solves the problem. But when people are right on top of you, you start shooting.
See that, Dominic Carter?
So you don't regret it?
No.
And
Would you do it again, Bernie?
There are many things in this world, and that there are many things in my life that I regret, that I've made many blunders. So I don't think that was one of them. What I regret is if I have regrets over that, I was very naive. I used to work with machines all the time.
I remember when I came to your apartment and you had lots of machines there.
Right, right, right. But I didn't have much experience with people, and certainly not with politics.
So why do you say you were naive?
Oh, I had no idea. I never expected the prosecution that wound up happening in my case to, to happen. I thought New York City was far saner than, in fact, it was. It was crazy.
Now, Bernie.
It was more crazy and corrupt than I thought.
One last question. You're 70 years old. You're healthy.
Wow.
Would you be willing to donate your colon to me? So that I could have Bernard Goetz's colon instead of being stuck with a colostomy bag for the second time in my life.
To start with, Curtis, I am not going to pay for your mistakes. In this life, you pay for your own mistakes. If you get in legal trouble, you pay for your
Bernie,
own mistakes.
Bernie, the mob shot me five times. That's why they're taking out half my stomach.
That was 20, over 20 years ago,
yeah,
Curtis.
1992.
Things don't stay the same. They should get better or get worse.
Well,
what you have is festering. And again, Curtis, ask anybody who knows anything about diet. Say that you're eating a diet right now of meat and water.
This is meat and water, and that's it. This is incredible. I am going to have my own celebrity shopper with me, Bernard Goetz, as we go in the mom and pop shops, the vegetable stands, the Whole Foods. He's going to pick out the vegetables.
Well, what do you think? I wish we hadn't lost Bernie. His take on Trump. What do you think his take on Trump is?
He's a libertarian, so I don't think he's predisposed to Trump, but obviously he was no Hillary fan.
So let me make sure I got this right. Curtis Sliwa is going to go shopping with Bernard Goetz.
Yeah. Look, if it's a way to save my colon and save half my stomach, I'm prepared to do it with my celebrity shopper, Bernard Goetz. And when we come walking in, don't worry, Bernie is not strapped. You don't have to go running for the exits.
Hey, this is Justin B. Love, and you should check out my podcast, How to Survive in the City. This is a show where we talk to people about making it in New York City when you're young and broke. We talk to the people who have survived the struggle. We release episodes every Tuesday, so subscribe now wherever you get your podcast.
Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
It must be like food in there to begin. It must be like food in there not giving. It must be like food in it just one way. It must be like food in your long time away.
12:39, as the news tightens around the Trump administration in the subject known as Russiagate. Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, right? As loyal as the day is long, according to Donald Trump, when they were both side by side on the campaign trail, has chosen through his lawyers to meet with Mueller and his prosecutors and potentially work out a deal. And what they're subjecting themselves to is a proffer session. This is where he comes in. And the feds already know the answers he better come up with to some of the questions.
Flynn.
That is
Flynn
correct.
Flynn comes in. Okay.
With his attorney.
And what is this called again, the legal term?
A proffer session. Yeah, and I'm well aware of it because in the four separate trials against John Gotti Jr., when he was charged with the attempted kidnap and murder of me, he submitted to a proffer session in order to avoid doing 100 years with his first attorney, Jeffrey Lichtman, in which he gave up information on all other kinds of Gambino guys. I mean, he gave it up because he was trying to save his own neck, like Joe the German Watts and Danny Marino. He hung them out to dry.
You said John Gotti or John Gotti Jr.?
The son.
Okay, the son. Okay.
Yeah, no, the father would never have sat for a proffer session.
Notice how I'm trying not to encourage you on this area. Let's move on.
Right, well, that's how I became familiar with the process. So the prosecutors, they already know the answers to some of the questions they're going to ask you. It's sort of like a test. Because if you lie in the proffer session, the deal's off. They're not moving forward. There's not going to be a cooperating agreement. There's not going to be a plea bargain. There's not going to be any number of line items that they could have chosen.
Okay, but this proffer session, I would imagine you have to have something that you're bringing to the table.
Oh, yeah.
Or the feds wouldn't even waste their time meeting with you.
Oh, yeah, because normally when you sit for a proffer session, you're called a rat. Because you have to give up information not just about yourself, but about others. because that's the point of a proffer session. It's like a hunting expedition. That if you're providing enough good information about Manafort and other people who were directly linked to the Trump campaign, or maybe Donald Trump Jr., or Kushner, or any of the key players there, then obviously you're a desirable person to flip, to have become a cooperating witness, and to negotiate a plea deal, plea bargain with.
So Flynn is between a rock and a hard place. That's the bottom line here.
We think. We're not sure. But clearly by his attorneys no longer cooperating with the Trump attorneys, no longer sharing information, it means that they're down to serious negotiations. And the proffer session will tell all. Because if you're lying in the proffer session, the feds say, deal's off, we're going to prosecute you. And remember, they're going to have Flynn and his son on a number of charges. The most recent to come to light is that in that interim, right before the inauguration took place, General Flynn was hired by a Turkish company, actually agents of the Turkish government, to pursue the kidnap of this old autokaka in the Poconos named Gulen that Erdogan, the dictator in Turkey, blames all of his problems on. He says, Gulen, you know, he's the silent hand. He's the one who's caused insurrection. He tried that revolt that almost sacked me from power. So he wanted him kidnapped and brought back to Turkey. And apparently, Lieutenant General Flynn was in on it, was prepared to do it until other intelligence agencies said, you can't do that. That's a violation of the law. You better stop in your tracks. You're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble here. And actually, his son was knee-deep in that. But he made $500,000 for that consultation for only 3 months of work.
Wow. So the reason why I say Flynn is between a rock and a hard place, either you flip on the president of the United States,
yes,
or the president's son-in-law, or
right,
his son,
right,
or you and your son, in all likelihood, are headed to jail.
Oh, absolutely. On kidnapping charges, attempted kidnapping charges of Gulen, cooperation with a foreign government.
Not registering as a foreign agent with many of these governments that he worked with.
Right, when he went and he sat next to Putin. Remember when RT was putting on that
I forgot all that about dinner? That part.
Yeah, and he got paid quite a bit of money. His son was in his company. So he may well be in the same position. Think back to WedTech. WedTech was the deal in the South Bronx that Mario Biagi, the congressman, was knee-deep in. But his son was also. And the feds went to him and said, look, Mario, either you do the time or we're throwing the book at your son. And in order for his son to avoid doing major federal time, Mario Biagi said, I'll take the total rap. Although Mario was guilty in this WedTech scam, as the other congressman at that time, I think Ramos was, who then ultimately, I think, got replaced by Herman Badil. But the point being is, they'll oftentimes go after a family member. Like in the upcoming trial about corruption in the Cuomo administration, you have Joe Piccolo, who knows where all of Cuomo's bones are buried.
Every single one of them.
They have his wife on the hook.
That's right.
At any point, they can indict her. And I'm sure they're going back and forth. The lawyers are going back and forth like, hey, you know, the feds are saying, you know, we could indict your wife. Now, the question is, would you give up Cuomo in that instance in order to keep your wife out of jail? So family is obviously the closest to you in the case of Flynn, in the case of Coco.
And remember, with the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, married to the president's wife, I mean, to the president's daughter, he's got a problem because it's deja vu all over again. Remember, Kushner's father did federal time, and you know, as we've talked about on the show, who locked him up.
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie. So now you look at your father do federal time, and in all likelihood, you're looking at the same scenario. So if you're Kushner, and if it gets to him, are you going to flip on President Trump? This is why, with our listeners here at WABC, at some point, you've got to be realistic. You can't say that this Russia investigation is not about anything. This could topple the president of the United States.
There's no doubt, because we've seen how loose Donald Trump is in his conversation. He's loose with his lips with foreign government people, never mind his inner circle. You know,
and that's part of the investigation as well.
Yeah.
When he met with the feds the day after getting rid of Comey. And remember, none of this would have been accelerated if he didn't fire the FBI director. But what did the president say in the Oval Office to those foreign entities?
I know, but when he sat with Comey, remember, Comey said that the president asked him to lay off of Flynn. Do not, please, do not.
That alone can be interpreted.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners out there. I find this to be far more important to the investigation than the indictment of Manafort.
And oh, by the way, I just want to throw this out there. My 32 years as a television journalist, the Pocahontas comment, we're not talking about it right now.
Yeah.
Folks, things like that do not happen by coincidence. You have people that are paid close to $200,000 a year to stage White House events. Nothing is done by coincidence or accident at the White House. To have the picture of Andrew Jackson right behind the president, and for those comments, they have teams of people that are there to brief the president and tell him, no matter who it may be, what to stay away from and to do the optics of the room. That was not a coincidence. That was done intentionally, and it worked. Because it's on front page of the newspapers across America and not General Flynn.
So it's a distraction.
A major distraction. But President Trump has proven to be the master of distractions.
But then again, it doesn't affect Mueller and his team. They just keep pushing on.
It doesn't. It affects the court of public opinion.
Exactly.
But Mueller's not going anywhere.
Well, where's the court of public opinion on this one? When we talked about Manafort and his indictment, people said, no, Biggie, it all happened before he got on board as the campaign manager for Trump. All of these allegations involve Flynn, Lieutenant General Flynn, when he was part of the campaign.
For the campaign and those 24 days that he was National Security Advisor.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And Flynn obviously had conversations with everybody. He sat at the table. He shared information. They shared information with him. And it'll be very, if he successfully sits through a proffer session, that meant he gave up some really big information against Trump advisors, and even outside of that circle, against the Turks and others who were planning the kidnap and abduction of this old Altacaca Gullen in the Poconos.
I go a step further. Flynn would not sit for such a session. The feds would not waste their time talking to him unless he had the goods.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness great balls of fire.
This is the theme song for Judge Roy Moore. In a race that's neck and neck down in Alabama with just, 2 weeks to go, December 12th. Actually, I'll know the results before I go under the knife, right? December 12th is the election. I go under the knife on December 13th. This
is great. So maybe we should keep the results from you until the procedure is over?
No, because either way, the Republicans are screwed, you understand. It's sort of like if Judge Roy Moore gets elected, which may well happen. He immediately is going to go under the electron microscope of the Senate because his fellow Republicans don't want him there. They're going to do everything to try to remove him from the seat. It'll also be a stigma on all other Republicans running in the midterm elections. You see, the Democrats win both ways. If Doug Jones wins, obviously it's a plus. But more importantly, if Judge Moore triumphs, then the Democrats go to town and use him as the poster child for them taking power in both the House and the Senate.
Agreed.
In the midterm elections.
But the Democrats also have a problem called Conyers and Franken.
Big problem. As you saw yesterday, you were a bit defensive of Conyers.
As of that point.
But another staff person who has come forward with her name intact, it means she's not doing it anonymously, said this guy was a lech on her three separate times. And she complained and nothing was done about it. Gee, I wonder where Nancy Pelosi is today. I guess she's taking a nap or trying to reconfigurate her staunch support for that icon of support of women's issues. But anyway, some people are focused on Conyers. Some people are focused on Franken, who Congresswoman Rice in Long Island wants out. She not only attacked her minority leader, Pelosi, for defending both, but she wants Franken tossed on his tuchus. But still, the country is focused on Judge Roy Moore. And he was sort of sequestered for a while. We saw only his wife, his supporters, spokesperson. But yesterday he reemerged, came to a side door. Some of his supporters bumped the wrong film crews, Fox News Channel, which has been supportive of his effort, and they're pushing them away. But Judge Moore took to the microphone for the first time in days and said these allegations are completely false and malicious.
These allegations are completely false. They're malicious. Specifically, I do not know any of these women. Nor have I ever engaged in sexual misconduct with any woman.
Now all of a sudden he's saying he doesn't know any of these women.
Right. Doesn't pass the smell test.
Because remember, initially, he couldn't remember the allegation of the woman who said he preyed on her when she was 14. But he did say he remembered the 16 and 17-year-old and May have tried to date them. Remember, that's what got him in a lot of trouble on that Sean Hannity radio interview, when then all of a sudden they went to break, a longer break than normal, and he came back singing a different tune.
But he is why you may be correct with your assessment that Republicans, are in a no-win situation. Notice Judge Moore is completely walking away from the allegations. He's trying to wash his hands. And President Trump, who apologized, acknowledged it, is now telling us that that might be a doctored tape. Notice both of them are doing exactly the same defense. And so it worked in Trump's case. He was elected. Now, I don't agree with the White House press secretary's assessment that the American people already decided on this issue. No, I would contend that the American people hated Hillary Clinton that much and bought into Trump's jobs argument that they overlooked the sexual stuff.
No, there's no doubt. And it was just the overriding hate of Hillary Rodham Clinton. It didn't matter how many setbacks Trump had. What normally would have been the death knell for any politician running for the presidency, just the hate was seething out there for Hillary, the evasive one, the one who couldn't tell the truth, the one who would make your skin crawl every time she would answer a question. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. What do you think of Judge Roy Moore's new position that he didn't know any of his accusers? That's the party line now. And then he went on to say, this isn't about sexual harassment, this particular election cycle. It's about giving a colonic to the corruptive politics in Alabama.
These things are simply what Alabama citizens generally don't like and shouldn't like. This is corrupt politics.
Now, you know, the governor got sacked because he had a gumata on the side. So when he's saying it's not about sexual harassment charges, that's not true, because they've just gone back to back, belly to belly, with two of their major political figures who are being hit with sexual charges, the governor who resigned and obviously Judge Moore, who's in a neck and neck race. And then Judge Roy Moore went on to say about how this is a spiritual jihad. And how he's ready to get into the mixed martial arts ring and take on all comers.
I'm going to take off some gloves and show the truth in this campaign. I'm a fighter. I don't hesitate to say that. That's what I did all my life. I fight not only physically, boxing and karate and full contact. I fought in political arenas in a different way. Now I'm having to fight a spiritual battle.
It's a spiritual battle. And he went on to say he's coming to Washington to spiritually cleanse Sodom and Gomorrah, which he referred to as the House and the Senate. That there are men there who are sinners, men and women who are sinners, and that he is going to bring a new spiritual light to the Alabama seat if the good voters of Alabama would be kind enough to elect him over Doug Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new jihad. It's a spiritual jihad, not a physical jihad, although he talked about karate and boxing and everything else under the sun. But this is a battle of the holy rollers versus evil against Sodom and Gomorrah and what has transpired up on the hill. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, Gloria Allred, who has made things worse here because she's been so evasive, sort of the Hillary Rodham Clinton of defense attorneys, she went on CNN again, unwilling to give up the yearbook so that the Roy Moore signature can be checked for authentication.
You're right. He's not yet a United States senator. He may never be a United
States
senator.
Right, so why is it their jurisdiction?
Having said that, I have spoken to a former United States senator and on Sunday to a former very key member of the Republican Congress, both of whom said, you're absolutely right, Gloria. If the committees wanted to have a hearing now, even before he's elected or even if he's never elected but he's a candidate, they could do so. It's politics.
Now, it's so easy. Gloria Allred can choose an independent group of people who authenticate signatures. You know, just pick like three different people. Give over the yearbook. Let them come up with their observations. But by denying an authentication process of that signature, it really feeds into the fact that you want to give Judge Moore the benefit of the doubt. Because let's face it, people hate Gloria Allred. Hate her as much as people hated Hillary. Just don't trust her. And why these evasive tactics? Just give up the yearbook. Let's see if it is the signature.
But it's not that simple. You have the Senate ethics investigation. Should Moore be elected? And these are the folks, as she said in that same interview, I agree, Americans are not really feeling defense attorneys, in particular her, but... And she said that she's received death threats, but this will be turned over to the Senate. So it will be verified, but not on the timeline that supporters, right?
The voters of Alabama have a right to know. Is that his signature or is it not? Because if it's his signature, he's dead. I mean, I don't know how you elect him then, because he's claiming that's not his signature, that it's a fraud.
But when there's a will, there's a way.
No, true.
Didn't the recent election just teach us that?
Yeah. And then again, look at our producer and our phone screener, Justin B. Love, the invader, the hipster who came to us from Alabama. He seems to have all those same traits that Jeff Sessions and Judge Moore has, which is selective memory. Anyway, let's go to Lee in Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Lee.
Hey, guys. So did you see that story yesterday about the accuser who... was faking the whole thing and they were trying to catch the Washington Post in a lie?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean that was just such a great story to show everybody who's calling these women liars. And here you have, the Washington Post, they did a real investigation of this whole thing. They took a long time, like just like the Times did with Weinstein. And I think that's a big game changer in all these people that are trying to undermine the whole thing.
Well, I know the gentleman responsible, James O'Keefe. He had graduated Rutgers University as Scarlet Knight, and he's cold-busted a lot of others like Acorn. But on this one, it backfired because the woman he used to act as if she had been victimized by Judge Roy Moore was impregnated at 15. He took her to Mississippi for an abortion. Boy, that would have been it, the abortion part, not the fact that she got impregnated at 15 in Alabama. It would have been the abortion part. But the Washington Post was very suspicious, and they checked, double-checked, triple-checked, and cold-busted her.
That's right. Like, well, all the fake news accusations, this is a real, this is important for you know, who's lying and who's telling the truth.
Well, Dominic, you've told us many times as a great gumshoe reporter, when you're asking questions, most times you already know the answers, right?
Indeed, that's the case. And in particular, the Washington Post knows that they have to dot every I, cross every T. This allegation has been out there for several weeks. And no one in this climate, no news organization is going to jump out there until they have completely verified all the information. And so this woman who was trying to fake the Washington Post had already made some social media posts. And that's the first thing we reporters are going to go, we're going to check everything in your life from start to finish.
Well, this is one case where he may have been in collusion. I don't know that to be a fact, that James O'Keefe may have been in collusion with the Judge Roy Moore campaign, since, you know, they were blaming all their problems on the Washington Post. Let's go to Marianne, who's calling from Rockland County. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Marianne?
Yeah, haven't we heard all these same exact words from the Clintons? It was a conspiracy. He didn't do anything. Nobody did anything. Everybody was against him while they murdered Foster. And she had a violent temper, and the security guards had to protect him from her temper. They're all a bunch of liars, sinners, and southern creeps.
Yeah, remember that time where apparently members of the Secret Service had to intervene in their boudoir when she picked up that lamp and threw it at his head? After the Monica Lewinsky allegation?
I certainly do.
Yeah. And
it's,
I guess,
all they're being picked on.
So you think it's a Southern thing here? Because let's face it, Bill Clinton.
We've had a few very good ones.
Yeah.
Does this apply to Republicans as well?
Pardon me?
Marianne, does this apply to Republicans as well?
Not at all. No. Not at all.
Seriously?
The party doesn't have anything to do with it since the 50s. Parties.
Wait, Marianne, wait. I don't know if you're joking or if you're serious right now.
Party affiliation has nothing anymore to do with anything. It shouldn't. That's child's play. That's young.
So this is all the Clintons and the sexual stuff, and it's not the president nor Judge Moore?
The president, you mean the president of the United States?
Yes.
Wait a minute. He threatened to drain that swamp, and that swamp is getting mighty low. And all of the people that are being exposed haven't been exposed yet.
But Marianne, the feds are meeting the feds. My head is a bit baffled here. The feds are meeting with Flynn to see what he has to offer, and you're saying none of this applies to the president?
I say that it has to do with him winning over Hillary, and all the stuff that was that's being dug up now is going to turn out to be in his favor, the president's favor.
What's wrong? You're looking very jaundiced. She's referring to the 50s. I love Ike. When Ike beat Taft in the Republican primary, went on to beat Adlai Stevenson the first time and the second time. It all changed then. She said it all changed then. Had nothing to do with the grand old party, the Republican Party. You understand
that? Well, see, I can respect the point if we say it's a Southern thing, and it's not just a Southern thing. But if we said, you know, based on what we've seen in front of us, Democrats and Republicans, but to exclude President Trump from this and to exclude all the players, it's like revisionist history. I don't understand how one can do that with a serious face.
I don't understand how you don't see it going back to the race versus Eisenhower, General Eisenhower versus then Congressman Taft for the Republican nomination to run against Adlai Stevenson. What's wrong with you? Aren't you a student of history?
Of course.
1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go. And first up in the queue is Dominic Carter is in the house. Is Rich in White Plains. Welcome to WABC. Richie Rich.
Hey, Curtis. Dominic, how we doing?
Hi, Rich. We're doing well. Hope you're doing well.
Don't you think this Roy Moore thing has become an obsession? I mean, I'm surprised there isn't a Roy Moore channel by now, or at least a crawler under every news channel with a Roy Moore update. I mean, we have two congressmen who admitted what they did, and nobody cares. We have a president of the United States who admitted what he did, and he gets a pass. But we get a conservative okay? A real conservative, and everybody's drawn down on him. Nobody cared when he ran for the judiciary twice and won. Nobody cared when he ran in the primary against other Republicans, but all of a sudden when he goes up against the Democrat, this is when these allegations come out?
Well,
come on, guys.
Rich, you think it's all manufactured, that it's not
absolutely
true?
Absolutely.
So, nine women align, and police who said at the time he was in ADA that they were assigned to him by the police commissioner in Gadsden to follow him to high school football games and to the mall to make sure he didn't perv on underage girls, they're all lying.
Look what Hillary Clinton got away with in the primary. If that's able to be done, then this is able to be fabricated. Now, I don't believe any of it.
You don't believe any of it.
Rich, when you say what Hillary Clinton got away with, what are you referring to?
Well, how she stole the primary from Bernie. It's ask Donna Brazile.
Yeah, how do you compare that to the sexual harassment and allegations against Judge Moore? And also understand, unlike Franken and Conyers, unlike even Trump, the balance of power in the Senate could well be determined by this election. So that's why there is all this attention on Judge Roy Moore. The Republicans cannot afford to lose another seat. And that's why some are saying better to have somebody who has been accused than to have a liberal progressive Democrat take that seat.
Curtis, the misinformation that's given to the public in the last so many years, okay, I don't believe anything, particularly when it's so politically expedient as it has been with these allegations coming 4 weeks before
the election.
All right,
well, let me ask you this. The president is now testing out this new approach towards the Billy Bush tape that he apologized for. He's told a U.S. senator and a member of his staff that that's a fake tape, that was a doctored-up tape. Do you think that was a real tape, or do you think that was a doctored-up tape, the new line of the president?
It doesn't matter what I think, because Trump already said, I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize. So I think that the horse has left the barn on that one, don't you think, Curtis?
Okay, all right. Well, at least you're using some critical thinking there. Whereas imagine, nine women come forward, cops testify to this effect. They're willing to attach their names to it, but they're all making it up because they want to deny Judge Roy Moore an opportunity to be the next U.S. senator for the people of Alabama.
It's all a conspiracy, and they're all working with the Washington Post.
Now, if you've looked at the supporters of Judge Roy Moore, they tend to be older women. There are a lot of them who have surrounded his wife on the campaign trail. And many of them have said exactly what legendary actress Angela Lansbury said yesterday, that women are partly to blame for being subjected to sexual harassment. She said, we have to own up to the fact that women, since time immemorial, have gone out of their way to make themselves attractive. We must sometimes take blame when men react in the manner that they do.
Garbage.
And she's not backing off of that.
With all due respect to Angela Lansbury, I loved her as an actress. I loved her as Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote. She solved murders once a week. But I understand she's from a different generation. But we're blaming the victim here.
Well, let's get into that up next, because that comes on the heels. Remember when Olympic gold medalist Gabby Douglas said the same thing, and then all of a sudden she reneged on that. Angela Lansbury is not reneging, and it's clearly a generational gap. Meantime, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Murder, she wrote. Murder, she wrote. Murder, she wrote. Murder, she wrote.
I channel with him. I predict you some bad character. Then they kind of live in town. Old Chaka Fly.
139. You mentioned Murder, She Wrote. How can you not think of the legendary actress Angela Lansbury, who just turned 92 and decided to give an interview to the BBC saying that women are partly to blame for being subjected to sexual harassment. She insisted that women who go out of their way to make themselves attractive must take some responsibility when men prey on them. Naturally, she's gotten a lot of blowback, but she said at 92, I'm not changing my mind. Now, this is in contradiction to what happened just about 2-3 weeks ago. Remember when gold medalist Gabby Douglas immediately went onto her Twitter account and said dressing in a provocative sexual way entices the wrong crowd? This was in reaction to her USA teammate, Ali Raisman, who was talking on 60 Minutes about their trainer, Larry Nassar, who has just pleaded guilty in Michigan to, like, sexually assaulting, like, 130 of the young girls who were assigned to him over the years.
So I guess we're going to blame those young ladies as well.
Well, she reneged on that. She did. After she had posted that, Gabby Douglas said, hey, look, I'm not victim shaming. I take that back. But in this case, Angela Lansbury is not taking it back. Who's right? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go, if we can, to Cooper, who's first up in the queue, calling from Rockaway. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Cooper.
How are you, Curtis? I don't know who the other guy on the show with you is, but he's
Dominic.
Not Kubi. You're not Kubi, so I love you.
Oh, I'm going to leave that alone.
That's a good compliment. That's an excellent compliment,
Cooper, please don't get Curtis started. Go ahead.
Okay, but let me just say the following. Obviously, I'm not familiar with the woman who's age 92, but I think I would agree, and for the following rationale. I wouldn't obviously blame a woman who gets sexually harassed, because that's ridiculous. However, I think in America, we're all partially responsible for creating a certain type of culture in which sex is transactional, if you will. And this culture of promiscuity, which some people are more guilty of and some people are less guilty of, has made sexual harassment more prevalent. And I'll give you an example. I come from a very conservative community where extramarital affairs is unheard of and therefore shunned, and these things are a lot less common. And I think the women who, as well as men, who promote this culture have a stake in this.
So are you suggesting that a woman, let's say, coming to a job, who's showing a shot of leg, a little cleavage, it's a little sexually enticing, guys eyeball her, that she's partly responsible if one of those guys crosses the line?
She's not directly responsible, but she's indirectly responsible.
Cooper, I respect your point of view, but I'm not getting it, and I think it's wrong for us in society to say that a woman is responsible for a man's behavior. A woman is entitled to wear whatever she wants to wear. If she wants to wear a mini skirt or a low top blouse, that's on her. Cooper, I'm going to give you a say here, but what we're really saying is the equivalent of that men are alligators, and you can't hold an alligator responsible for what they do, because if they see a stake, they're going to go for it. That's the equivalent.
The Mike Pence vice president approach to dealing with women is that he will not sit with a woman alone. His wife accompanies him on all trips, dines with him. If he were meeting with Angela Merkel, I believe that rule would hold true. She would have to be in the meeting, even if it was with our vice president, Pence and Merkel discussing international affairs involving both Germany and the United States. Mrs. Pence would be in the room.
Are we laughing at Pence anymore? The man was smart to do that. It's a smart strategy.
No, I don't think it was his strategy. I think he cheated on his wife at some point, being the holy roller that he is.
Okay, but wait. Do we have any evidence to back this up?
No, but okay. I've known of elected officials where the wife will not kick them to the curb when they catch him. But they
just
will
like
tell
athletes,
them.
Just right, like pro athletes.
They will tell them, I'm dogging you every step of the way. I want your cell phone. I want to see the communications, the whole nine yards. If you go somewhere, I'm traveling with you. There's no more this footloose and fancy-free attitude. If you do your thing, I do my thing. Or we're going to split, and I'm going to give 50% of everything you got. And I think, being the classic family-oriented Republican holy roller conservative, he was confronted by the wife, and he decided to fold to her demands. And those demands are enforced by his wife. I mean, think of it. That's a very rare situation that a man would subject himself in which he's shadowed by his wife every step of the way.
I don't know about that. When affairs occur, isn't it first an emotional bond connection between two parties? And in many affairs that I have seen, there's the emotional bond or connection between two parties that, frankly, there's not the bond with the wife. And that's what leads to this. So, I don't know if it was Penta's idea, but I think, you know, everybody laughed at it. You know, everywhere he goes, you see his wife. It's smart. It cuts it off before anything can happen here.
Now, and I want you to listen to a prior caller, Matthew Murray, who claims he doesn't know how to function as a man any longer.
No, I'm a lawyer, and all of these ancient cases are coming out of the woodwork all at the same time. And forgive me for being conspiratorial, but it seems to me I'm scared to death to talk to a woman. I think this is a conspiracy to obliterate heterosexuality.
What? A conspiracy to obliterate heterosexuality. Anyway, let's go to Ken calling from Rockland. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Ken?
Hey, guys. So here's my confusion. Now, I've never been sort of driven by sex or women, and I'm almost indifferent to them at times. And just in general, I'm indifferent. But here's the thing. So I heard them yelling about Trump this morning going into the USA pageant bathroom or whatever you call it, what he changed. Well, didn't I hear for years and years women trying to get into the men's locker rooms for football and all that other garbage, which is also garbage? I mean, if that's the sport you're playing, which is be a pretty girl and go on stage and do that stuff, and then a guy walks through the room,
Ken,
it shouldn't mean anything.
Ken, are we seriously going to make this argument? Are we? Ken.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is only men should cover professional sports. A woman doesn't have a right. Okay, but wait a minute. Well, she can't. She can't walk into the. Wait. I've been around pro athletes and around pro locker rooms. It's a rule. Men have got to wear a towel so that the sports reporters who happen to be female can come in and do their job. What's wrong with that?
My point is simply what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If women, by the way, I saw a great little show. I never saw it before. Larry David has a fight with this girl in a movie theater on a show, and she's wearing a low-cut blouse. And she's like, "Are you looking at my breast?" Blah, blah. And as he walks away, he goes, "I suppose by wearing that blouse, you wanted me to look at your shoes." And I thought that was apropos. And, you know, you'll never hear a girl say that I took advantage of them or said something wrong to them.
Ken, you wear what you want to wear? Can I wear what I want to wear?
I'm a bum. I look like a homeless man most of the time.
Okay, but Ken, if we can wear what we want to wear on a daily basis, why shouldn't a woman have that same right, that same opportunity?
Well, I listen, there's a truth to the matter that women dress for other women, not for men. Men don't give a crap what you wear. They just don't care. Women care what women wear. And if women dress provocatively, they want to be looked at. That's the way it is.
All right. So let's accept that. I don't deny that. But that doesn't mean it allows a guy to figure, okay, I'm eyeballing it, staring it, glaring at the mammary glands or whatever other part of her anatomy is showing. So now that means she's open to me moving in on her. Because that's what he seemed to be suggesting. But let's go to Corey, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Corey?
Oh, I love you both. I'm a 55-year-old woman, and I'm not shaming the victims, but my mother taught me that if you go to a bar and you let a man buy you drinks, and then it's late, and maybe in wee hours of the morning, and he invites you to his hotel room. He's expecting sex, and I think that we have to teach our young girls to be safe. I think you have to take human nature into as a factor. I think teach girls not to be in dangerous situations. Now, if the girl in the hotel room says, you know, I changed my mind, no, a gentleman, a good man would say okay. But you might get a psychopath who will rape that girl.
Well, it's not just psychopaths. It's guys who assume, okay, you came to my hotel room. You knew why you came to my hotel room. It wasn't here to discuss business or anything else.
Right, exactly. And so girls have to be taught to not get that close to a dangerous situation.
Well, it's the same type of situation that happened with Mike Tyson for why he went to jail in Indiana. My philosophy, having a daughter when she was younger, and I still tell my daughter, Courtney, who's 28 years old, sweetie, if you go to a man's room, hotel room, particularly at nighttime, you're not there because he wants to talk to you. I don't care what he says to get you into that room. Once he gets to that room, there's something else that he wants.
You mean he doesn't just want to cuddle you or spoon you? He wants to go the whole nine yards. Cuddle or spoon you. You know, that means just hold you while he's talking to you.
With you, I've got to ask for definitions because I never know where you're going.
That's what hipsters and millennials do. They spoon,
they spoon?
And they cuddle.
Are you a spoon?
Yeah, well, they're eunuchs.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they don't have testosterone forms in their veins and arteries.
Wait, what do you mean by, I know we got to take a break. What do you, spoon, define that? It's nothing sexual, is it?
Well, no.
It's
close to being sexual, except you're very close to that person without engaging in intercourse.
So why do they call it spooning?
I don't know. You have to ask the hipsters and millennials here who prefer spooning to full, all-blown out intercourse. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa. 77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. Let's go to Doug first in Hoboken. Welcome to WABC, Dougie.
Hey, how you doing?
Have had better days.
I know. I heard. Hey, you know, spooning's real simple. It's like a guy laying behind a girl in bed, with both of them laying on their sides. You know, picture one spoon on top of another spoon in the drawer, you know? It's just holding from behind, filling up every crack and crevice between the two of you.
Well, Doug, perhaps I'm getting old, but I had never heard of spooning. And to be honest with you, whenever Curtis throws a term out at me, I have to put my guard up because I never know if it's Sliwonics, Ebonics, or what the definition may be.
Curtis Bonics, yeah.
No. Yeah, but Doug, you see, this is the preferred method of engaging a woman by hipsters and millennials who are so unmanly. They think, wow, I spooned her. Wow, I scored.
Well, yeah, you can turn spooning into a score, no question about it.
Oh, yeah, but you know, these guys...
It's very comfortable. It's very relaxing. Very cool thing to do.
So wait, Doug, is spooning something that you do with your wife or your girlfriend? Like you just lay in bed and she happens to be turned away from you, you just hug her? I mean, is that what spooning is?
It's like hugging from behind.
It's hugging from behind. Okay, so why didn't you just say Curtis hugging from behind?
No, it's more than just hugging from behind. He aptly described it.
It's actually filling up every crack and crevice.
Right.
Your knees behind her knee, you know, behind the bend in her knees. Your body wrapped around hers.
She can't move.
Picture two spoons.
Yeah.
You know, put them on their side and put them together. It's like just filling up every space.
Yeah, be creative there, Dominic Carter. Let your mind wander a little bit. You know, you're like a cuddly bear when maybe you want to start spooning now. See where it gets you. As he said, sometimes spooning can get you to go the whole nine yards. Up next, New Yorkers overwhelmingly want legalized marijuana.
I'm speechless.
Hey, this is Justin B. Love, and you should check out my podcast, How to Survive in the City. This is a show where we talk to people about making it in New York City when you're young and broke. We talk to the people who have survived the struggle. We release episodes every Tuesday, so subscribe now wherever you get your podcast.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
But now it's all going to pot. But whether we like it or not, the best I can tell, the world's gone to hell. We're sure gonna miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. I got $100 bill, friend, to keep your pills, call this all the way to pot.
Willie Nelson singing about smoking that herb, which he has done for most of his life. In fact, recently, Dominic Carter, when he had a conversation with Woody Harrelson, used to be the other big pothead in Holly Weird, Woody said, no, no.
Wait, Holly what?
Weird. Holly Weird.
Holly Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, where the Jet Set is, Freakazoids, and folks from Holly Weird play. But Woody Harrelson said, no more Puff Puff Pass. No more, Nelson. No more. And Nelson looked at him like all of a sudden he had converted to becoming a holy roller. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you with the 50,000 powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com, the winds are changing with the election of Murphy as the governor of New Jersey. He wants as a mandate the recreational use of marijuana because he says it can add to the state's coffers. So he wants to be the first here with recreational use. But then there's a poll in New York's hometown newspaper, the Daily News, today that is striking. 62% of New Yorkers are in favor of the legal recreational use of marijuana, 28% opposed. And a lot of the people saying because, yeah, we too here in New York need to raise money to offset a projected $4 billion deficit in the coming legislative year. And why should all that money be going to New Jersey? Why should people be going over to score their pot legally in New Jersey when they should be able to do it here in New York? And for me, and I know for you, Dominic, because we're baby boomers, it's a tremendous change in attitudes to the time when we were first sitting around the black and white 13-inch RCA Victrola TV and watching Sergeant Joe Friday and Dragnet.
Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb. So don't you try to equate liquor with marijuana, mister. Not with me. You may sell that jazz to another pothead, but not to somebody who spends most of their time holding some sick kid's head while he vomits and retches sitting on a curbstone at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when his knees get enough starch back in him so he can stand up and empty his pockets, you can bet he'll turn out a stick or two of marijuana.
All right, that was the attitude then of law enforcement, the cultural mores, is that if you were a pothead, you were a hippy-dippy, you were an outcast, you were involved in rebellion. Then Nancy Reagan came along with a simple application that, in some respects, the President Donald Trump has adopted.
Just say no.
Just say no. Did that
just
work?
Just say no.
Did that work with the homies you used to hang out with, Dominic Carter?
No, not exactly.
Yeah, that didn't work with the crowds that I used to hang out with everywhere I went.
But you know, Curtis, based on the poll you just referenced, the train has already left the station on this, and you and I differ on this issue. I just feel that it's a very serious issue. I was raised on the tradition. You know, I was raised by my grandmother. My mom suffered from severe mental illness, so she didn't raise me. And my grandmother, young black child in the projects, would say, boy, don't you start smoking. And my grandfather was a heroin addict that she had to leave because he did all the things to his family that addicts do.
Sure.
And she would say, boy, don't you start smoking them reefers. That's what she called them.
Reefers, that's right.
Right, reefers. She said, if you start smoking them reefers, that was the black version, you know, from the woman from Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
If you start smoking them reefers, before long you'll turn to cocaine, before long you'll turn to heroin. So I've been to psychiatric wards. When some of these kids, I know you're going to say if it's legal, you know, it'll probably be good, clean pot. But I've been to psychiatric wards when young people bug out because they got bad weed. It's not a pleasant experience.
But you see, if it's legal and it's being sold through authorized dealers that have to submit to the product being checked, you're not going to have that wacky weed being sold that oftentimes gets sprayed with all kinds of chemicals in the street and you have absolutely no idea. Or what is very prevalent now, for $2, you can get synthetic marijuana, which is not marijuana at all. It's basically leaves sprayed with chemicals.
And totally blow your mind.
Oh, yeah. And eventually just eat your mind away. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the current wave. Are you for it or against it? legalization of marijuana for recreational use in New York. It's going to be coming in New Jersey with both houses Democratic-controlled and a Democratic governor. They're looking at that revenue windfall that the sale of marijuana can give the state of New Jersey. Likewise, they're starting to do that right here in New York. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But not over Jeff Sessions' dead body. The attorney general has made this a calling card of his. He, in fact, wants to go after states that already have it as recreational use and medical use.
You know, marijuana is a cure for opiate abuse. Give me a break. I mean, you know, this is the kind of argument that has been made out there, to just almost a desperate attempt to defend the harmlessness of marijuana or even its benefits. I doubt that's true. Maybe science will prove I'm wrong, but at this point in time, you and I have a responsibility to use our best judgment, that which we've learned over a period of years, and speak truth as best we can. My best view is that we don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
Now, could it be that Jeff Sessions smoked product himself at a younger age, and that's why he's had such tremendous memory loss of late? Because remember the old PSAs, which would say that smoking marijuana kills brain cells and you will suffer memory loss. You think maybe that's what's attributed to his memory loss?
Oh, so that's why the attorney general can't remember anything now?
Anything about Russians and meeting with Russians and talking about Russians.
Okay.
But then again, there is Shamu El Hefe, Chris Christie, who
that's not nice.
Wants to become the next drug czar in the Trump administration.
That's not nice. Do you ever see Christie face to face?
Not in many years.
Because he's the type of guy that might want to punch your lights out.
Well, I welcome it, because you know me. I'd step right into him. Although I'd probably have to hit him five times before I could get through all that flesh. Anyway, let's go to the audio tape.
Marijuana is a gateway drug. We have an enormous addiction problem in this country, and we need to send very clear leadership from the White House on down through federal law enforcement. Marijuana is an illegal drug under federal law, and the states should not be permitted to sell it and profit from it.
And then, of course, the man who follows us, Michael Savage, who is now pretending he's a Rebbe. You know, he's a authority on religion, even though he was an atheist for years. He wants you to call him doctor, even though he's a nutritionist. So, you know, stupid callers. Hey, Dr. Savage, you can doctor this. And he's talking about marijuana being the most dangerous drug.
You think marijuana is benign? It is not. It is the most dangerous of all drugs. You ask every drug addict in any rehab facility in America how they started on harder drugs. They all started with marijuana. This is not a ludicrous argument. This is a factual argument. Marijuana is the most dangerous drug in the world because it is an entry-level drug.
Yeah, more dangerous than fentanyl and heroin and oxycodone, hillbilly heroin, which if you OD, you have to take an antidote. Have you ever seen a pothead need an antidote because they were just too stoned to the bone?
No, I haven't, but I have seen potheads that become absolutely lazy and cannot hold down a job.
And then there are a lot of people who do smoke who are very productive.
This is true.
Let's go to Kevin, who's calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, Kev.
Hey, guys. Dominic, before I get into what I'm doing, I went to Albertus Magnus High School.
Oh, wow. My daughter graduated from Albertus Magnus High School. Wow.
I know. I'm an Iraq veteran also, so I'm a good alumni from Albertus.
Hey, Kevin, you went there. I just have to point it out. My daughter was the first African-American president of the student body at Albertus Magnus. But go ahead. Let's talk marijuana.
All right. Marijuana. I think it should. I don't like it myself. I don't smoke it. I think it should be legal. It's no worse than alcohol. I used to drink a lot, so I know what alcohol can do. And when I was drinking and drunk, and me and my friends were fighting and womanizing, the potheads were just chilling on the couch, not bothering anybody. I think it would be a lot of money for the city. But also, the amount of law enforcement resources we put into this guy is outstanding. outstanding. 800 or three-quarters of a billion people arrested for small amounts of marijuana over the last 20 years.
Now, Kevin, I'm with you on that part of it. I'm with you, Curtis, on that part of it as well, as the law enforcement. Because a lot of young minorities get caught up with criminal records, well, and cities across the country are trying to
remember,
do things to change that.
When I got arrested by your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, for serving him papers as the New York State Reform Party chairman, I had to go to court. And as I was waiting for my case to be called, almost every case before mine was a marijuana bust for really small amounts, personal use. It's not, you know, they weren't selling nickel and dime bags. And you're scratching your head, and everybody was scratching their head in the court and saying, why are we taking up so much time with this? When in fact, it's just a fait accompli that this is going to be legal soon.
Okay, but Curtis, you make the argument, and others make the argument, like our last call, about the revenue. I understand that. I understand. I get it as it relates to Colorado. But what about the fact, when you point to the revenue enhancement, which some will say are one-shot revenues, which are not a good budget process unless it continues every year. What happens? Who's going to pay the added emergency room costs? See, those are factors that we don't consider. When kids and young people, whoever smoking the weed, the marijuana, they bug out for whatever reason and they rush to the emergency room. That's one of the stories out of Colorado, that emergency room visits skyrocketed.
Yeah, but you know, if you ask people in Colorado, most of them will say it's a much more civil society now because you don't have dealers in the streets who get into drive-by shootings because they're battling over turf.
Well, you were there before I was. You were there recently at the release of your documentary.
Right.
So I haven't seen Denver as of late.
Yeah, it was a lot tamer than when I first came to Denver with the Guardian Angels in the summer of 93 of violence, and there were drive-by shootings, dealers battling one another for dealing nickel and dime bags, a lot of them coming in from L.A., you know, with crypt and blood credentials. So they were trying to muscle out the local yokels. Anyway, let's go to Susan in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Susan?
Hi there. Dominic, your grandmother was very wise because the addiction to teenagers is very, very high. And when something is legalized, even parents think, oh, then it must be safe. It is, and this is from the Harvard Public School of Health. Even look how addictive just smoking. When you sniff in a substance, it quickly gets a dopamine hit to the brain. And that, so that people can get the high that they would ordinarily get from doing productive things like working. So it confiscates the reward center in the brain. That's why dope heads are so, you know, have no motivation to do anything.
All right, but Susan, which part of Brooklyn do you live in?
I'm in the Prospect Park area.
Okay, you're going in the Prospect Park area. You'll see a lot of head shops on 7th Avenue in Park Slope. In some of the surrounding neighborhoods, they're selling all kinds of paraphernalia to smoke marijuana, pipes, the whole nine yards, bowls. What do you think? They're in it to go out of business, or there are a lot of pot users in those neighborhoods?
Well, that's not the issue. That doesn't mean
right. But what I'm saying is
that we should be condoning it, which means that younger people are going to do it. We'll have more addicts. Look how hard people can't even stop smoking cigarettes.
All right, so
that's nicotine.
All right.
So you're telling me that THC is a great thing to be going right to your brain, especially in the 15-year-old to 25-year-old.
Well, we don't want the young
addictive.
Using it. It's just like you don't want children smoking cigarettes and drinking booze. So you try to make it as difficult as possible for them to procure it. But the way it is now, they just go out in the streets and they buy it and cop it, or they cop it at school from dealers.
But that doesn't mean we should put another dangerous substance.
So do you want the kid locked up? Susan, do you want that kid locked up because they got a nickel dime of marijuana on him?
I want them to get educated.
Education will follow getting locked up. They're going to end up with a record for having a nickel bag of marijuana on them.
No, I don't necessarily want them to get a record, but I want them to get
Then you better tell the cops, because we're confusing the cops. We're saying, wait a second, one hand, let's legalize it for the revenue. The other hand, we want you to continue to arrest people for the use, the public use of marijuana. And that means kids get a record. And that record will stick with them, like a Facebook posting
for
now
life.
Or an Instagram posting. Sticks with them for life.
But I'm still with Susan. I agree with her point.
You can't stop this. It's everywhere. Look at all these head shops. What do you think they're selling? They're selling all the paraphernalia for all the people who use pot in that neighborhood. If you ever go to Williamsburg and Dumbo and Bushwick, look at all the head shops. These hipsters and millennials, they live on pot. You think they're going to give up pot all of a sudden and go back to drinking milk? 1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
Walking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
I see them already, Dominic Carter. People schlepping around, getting their Christmas trees, getting them decorated, which is for many families what is expected to follow the breaking of the wishbone when you have your turkey dinner on Thanksgiving. The very next thing is you got to go out and get your tree. And I'm imagining that this year, Dominic Carter, because there is a tremendous shortage of Christmas trees as a result of the crash of 2008 when a lot of the farms decided to plant less trees because they didn't have the money to do the planting. And it takes anywhere from about 10 years to get a tree to reach its full height of 7 to 8 feet. So this year, they're in short supply, which means they're charging a lot of coin for a tree. Does this mean that Dominic Carter in Pomona in Rockland County, where your lawn jockeys are white there on your lawn, you're going to take a hatchet in your hand and, like Paul Bunyan, go out into a nearby forested area and chop down your own tree?
Well, I've actually thought about that. On the property, it's mostly trees anyway. Trees, deers, and bear every now and then.
Black bear or brown bear?
Why it's got to be black?
Well, it's a black family living in your house.
I got to tell you, though, when you see a bear, it's not a pleasant experience when you see one. But anyway, back to the Christmas trees. So I've thought about chopping down one, but I think there's a town ordinance or something. Town hall is right across the street, so I don't want to end up in trouble. And then you have some really big trees.
But no, you won't get in trouble because you can declare this is part of reparations, 40 acres and a mule.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you're an African-American.
Right.
So you understand you can claim to the town.
Really?
Pomona, the town council.
Yeah.
Hey, this is my reparations.
Yeah.
I'm procuring a Christmas tree from this forest.
I wonder if that'll work with my enormous tax bill. Will it work with the tax bill?
No, the problem. Probably add a subcharge on for that since you procured a Christmas tree. But does this mean that people suddenly, because of the cost of a natural tree and all the hassle that goes with a natural tree, because then all of a sudden the needles are all over the place, it takes a month of Sundays to get them out of the carpet.
True.
Do you suddenly go the artificial tree route? I'd like to know how many people out there have opted for artificial trees over the years rather than the old tradition of bringing in a natural tree.
How about you? I'm a straight natural guy. I don't want the fake trees. How about yourself?
I could see you have that fro there. I could see you're into a natural look. I've never gone for an artificial tree. The first time I ever saw one was in my Aunt Louise's house, and I was stunned that she would have an artificial tree. You know, she had a meticulous household. Everything was in place. And then all of a sudden in the corner, it wasn't this green evergreen tree. It was this artificial tree that she was putting together in all different pieces. And I was like, there's no smell to it.
Well,
no,
once
nothing.
They have them put up, the artificial ones, they're pretty good once they're... Sometimes you can't tell the difference. But with the real ones, of course, you can smell the difference. When I have noticed in Rockland, there's only one spot on our throughway area, lots of traffic, Route 59. And I've noticed there's only one person out there selling trees. And normally you see them everywhere. My tradition, I used to love to put up two Christmas trees.
Two?
Two every year. And the reason why I put up two, one would go in the foyer, one would go in the great room. And the reason why I did that was because of my tough upbringing out of New York City housing.
Yes.
Where we didn't have money, and sometimes Christmas passed us by some years.
Yeah, so, and Santa Claus passed you by. He wasn't coming into the project in the hoods to deliver presents, that's for
wait,
sure.
You didn't know Santa Claus was African-American?
He is.
You didn't know that?
The one I saw was a Caucasoid. When you go to Macy's, right, and now you have to schedule an appointment to get your
which
kid a grandchild
want,
to sit
right.
on the lap of probably what's a perv behind that beer anyway, Santa Claus.
That's not nice.
You got to schedule an appointment.
Well, when I was growing up in Harlem, they would have a black Santa, and I was brought up on the tradition of African-American Santa.
I can't tell you how many times that my Aunt Mary would take me to a Macy's, and it would be a Santa, and he'd be half in the bag. I mean, just radiating of alcohol, and naturally he'd claim it was like some cheap Chanel No. 5, you know, some turlet water that he had on Old Spice or High Karate.
And so every year I wanted two trees, but my wife, being the more reasonable financial person, would say, oh no, we're only going to have one tree. So every year was an argument over one or two trees.
All right,
how about you? How about you?
One tree. That's
one
it.
Tree.
One tree in the living room. One tree only.
I guess I just love Christmas.
Yeah, because you were deprived early on in your life.
Right,
so you
and
figured
I was.
You'd make up for lost time.
Yeah.
You'd walk in and you'd have two Christmases going on simultaneously.
Yeah.
Now, were there presents put
and
under both
what?
Trees?
Of course. And if you come to my house right now,
yes.
I have a black Santa for you.
A black Santa?
Why are you looking at me like that? Yeah, there are black Santas.
No, I know there are.
If you come to my house right now, right in front, I have like a 5-foot, maybe no, 4-foot Santa that's put in front of the house. He's African American.
I've seen black Santas before with the Salvation Army as they're, you know, shilling for a coin.
And are you shocked what Santa can't be African American?
First time I saw a black Santa, yeah, I was really shocked. I was in culture shock. I thought that your people had appropriated our cultural symbol, Old Saint Nick, the miracle on 33rd Street. Didn't you ever see that movie? If they didn't look like Old Saint Nick in that movie, then it couldn't be Santa Claus.
Mm. What
by the
is
way,
wrong with you?
Guys who would put a pillow in their outfit, you know, to try to make themselves look big so it could look like Santa Claus, that would never cut it. The kids knew that was a Fugazi Santa Claus. You know how many times you'd be online with the kids and they say, that's a fake Santa Claus.
Okay, wait a minute. George Jefferson, right?
Yes.
George Jefferson.
Yeah.
He would have had a black Santa Claus.
Yeah, moving on up, right?
Right. He would have had a black African-American Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, my first time I saw a black Santa Claus, I was in culture shock. 1-800-848-WABC. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in order to follow up the tradition, how much is too much to pay now for a natural tree? And have you already gone out and gotten your tree and decorated? And give us an idea of the basic price. Because, you know, when you're there with the tree salesman, the guy who's usually from Florida, looks like he could be a carny, you know, traveling with a circus, no circus to travel.
Last year it was $100. I mean, to my now, unless I was had, I mean, $100 a tree. What do you think?
Now it's going $200 or more.
Okay, that makes about
and
sense.
You got to wait until it gets closer to Christmas because then they got to unload the trees.
Right.
Because they're not going to take an 18-wheel tractor trailer back to Florida or wherever they're growing them in Georgia.
Right.
With a full load of trees that they haven't sold. So it's sort of a John's Bargain Store sale that takes place in the waning moments before Christmas occurs. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And I'd love to hear from somebody who actually gets great delight out of an artificial tree. I can never understand that. It just looks like a fake, phony, fraudulent, fugazi tree.
What do your boys prefer?
Well, my two youngest boys, because they're raised Jewish, they're not supposed to have a Christmas tree.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But they put it on the hush, hush, mush, mush.
Of course.
And my oldest son, he actually looks forward, Anthony, to go out with me and actually rustle up a tree. And boy, I'm a sucker when it comes to that. These Florida and Georgia boys who come up here, oh, that's $150. I say, what, that twig there? Well, what am I going to put, like three tinsels on it? You know, they're always thinking that everybody up here in the north is a sucker. Anyway, let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Eric, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Eric?
What's up, guys? Hey, listen, Curtis, I know if you have better days, but my 94-year-old dad says if you can go to the bathroom by yourself, life is good, okay? Well, anyway, moving on. I wish you the best when you get your surgery. You're in and out real quick. And as far as a tree, I've always paid $20 for a tree. Right here, Secor Farms in Mahwah, right on the border of Suffern.
Did you already buy it yet, though, this year?
Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah, right now it's in the garage, you know, like when you undo it, so it drops.
Well, what is that? That's not far from you. That's the other side
far,
of Rockland
it's
County.
Not far
it's
at
New
all.
Jersey.
Dominic, I used to live in Pomona, underneath the exit right there, exit 13 by the high tension
right,
wires in the condos.
Right,
you know,
right.
But they're expensive, though, up that way.
So wait a minute. So you're telling me, Eric, that you pay 20 and I pay 100?
Yeah, I don't know where the hell you're buying trees from. They're like $20.
But I like, you know, 7 foot high.
Budget.
But wait, Eric,
it's
is your tree
a five foot tree?
No, so see, I don't want a 5 foot tree.
Okay,
because
but
I grew.
When you put in the stand,
but Eric, but because
in the
I grew
stand,
up poor,
with,
and they want another 25 for the stand.
Because, no, I grew up in the Bronx, right off of University. I was poor too, you know. But we got a tree.
If I'm willing to sacrifice 2 feet, you're telling me I can get a tree with a stand for $20?
How tall are you?
5'8".
Okay, I'm 5'11". You put a stand underneath the tree, you raise it up a foot. There you go.
Right, but Eric, the problem I always have, and Curtis, with a Christmas tree, seriously, when you buy a big tree, it's hard to put the stand. So to give me a stand, they say, oh, just place the tree in there, stand, and then hammer on the bottom. It never seems to work.
Yeah, it always
no matter
tilts.
What I do. Right, always
like
tilts.
The Leaning Tower
right.
of Pisa.
Right.
Anyway, let's go to Murph, who's calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Murph.
Hey, buddy. Curtis, best of luck with your surgery, man. We're all thinking of you out here. And Dominic, you're awesome with Curtis. That's all I could say.
Thank you.
Grew up in Pella Manor. We had the EJ Corvette's Christmas tree that we took out of the box every season, you know, with the colored tips to put into the wooden piece.
Wow.
And it was just a tremendous memory of mine having that. Moved to Connecticut, go to a place called Maple Row Farms, and I cut the tree down every year for $65 with the family. You know, awesome adventure driving out, hot chocolate, all that stuff. But, I still go back to my days of growing up in the apartment in Neurochelle Pelham. I should say Pella Manor for that matter, with the EJ Corvette's tree. So, my vote is for the tree that you take out of the box every year. That's all I can tell you.
Wow. You're like, you broke the tradition, man. You were talking about being Paul Bunyan, chopping down your own tree, having hot chocolate. You had me. And now you're talking about EJ Corvettes and that low-budget tree that you would take out of a box.
Now listen, my old man, he'd leave it up in the apartment till like April.
April to Easter. So you almost had your tree up to Easter.
Yeah, that's a phone call for another day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's for sure. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go. Dominic Carter's in the house, and it's Nick in Orange County. Welcome to WABC, Nick.
Hey, Curtis. Good luck in your surgery. Dominic, I can't wait till you're a permanent fixture on WABC. Hey, Curtis, about 15 years ago up in Washington Heights, house full of people, a kid knocks a candle off the coffee table, rolls right underneath the real tree, lights up, 3 people dead, about 8 people burnt severely. I'm retired FDNY. I'd never have a real tree in my house ever again after seeing that.
Wow, so now you have an artificial tree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see how quick one of those trees goes up?
Yeah, Nick does make a point. I love a real tree, but he does make a very valid point. They go up really fast. You know, you put water in the bottom.
Those apartments in the city are packed with stuff and people. There ain't a lot of room to run. So you got seconds to get out. God forbid one of those go up.
And give up the smell of a good evergreen tree to the smell of an artificial tree, which is like nothing. It's like nothing. Dominic, you're not going to go artificial, are you?
He kind of makes a good point. That's always, you know, when I go to sleep, I'm like, I look up at the ceilings, the high ceilings, and I'm like, if this tree goes up, we're done in a matter of seconds. Listen, we only have seconds left to the show. You know I cannot end this show without telling you that I love you, man.
Oh, please. Please, spare me.
I do, brother. I love you.
Spare me.
I love you for you, Curtis.
I don't want your love, man. Please, don't do that man-to-man thing with me here. Don't get soft on me here. Oh, my God. You know, we're talking Christmas here, and you're talking about lip locking on WABC with Curtis Sliwa. That just ain't going to happen. And remember, if I fall, don't give me CPR. Let me die in peace.